Welcome to the RD2B podcast. Each week, we sit down with a different registered dietitian nutritionist to showcase the diversity of opportunity in the dietetics profession. Our aim is to dismantle the notion that there is a traditional career path. I'm Carl Barnes, the registered dietitian behind the scenes of RD2B.
And I am Jenna Warnock, the RD2B host. Our RD guests share their stories, career paths, and advice to help students like us succeed in the profession. Welcome back to another week of the RD2B podcast. My name is Jenna, your RD2B host, and today we are going to be featuring another awesome graduate program for supervised practice for all of you dietetic students. And so today we're going to be featuring Dr. Josephine Connolly-Shunin. She's the director of the nutrition division at Stony Brook Medicine, and she will be featuring a lot of her different graduate programs that she offers for nutrition students. So thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Josephine. Is it okay if I call you Josephine?
Absolutely. That's great, Jenna. And thank you for the invitation. I'm really happy to be here and talking about our graduate nutrition programs here at Stony Brook Medicine, but also just to give students that are looking for programs now some insight. I mean, I've been at this a long time. I've been running this program and division for 30 years, and it's a really confusing time right now, really confusing, sometimes for the directors too. So I'm going to try to help students tease that apart a bit, because it's really most important that you find the program that's the best fit for you. And there's a lot that goes into that. Yes, I'd love you to come to our program. But it needs to be a thoughtful decision on your part. And there's a lot to think about. So that's what we're going to focus on today. I have kids that are 21 and 25 years. So, you know, my 21-year-old's going through a lot of this similar stuff in different field, but so I'm putting my little mentoring hat on too. Okay, everyone. So today I'm going to share a lot about graduate nutrition programs for nutrition. There are some new opportunities, which is very exciting, but the older style of training dietetics students and RDs still exists, right? So there's a lot to choose from. So if you get to the landing page for our Stony Brook graduate nutrition programs, you'll see this. And I'm going to share with you a little bit about what you'll see behind each of these tiles to kind of give you a sneak peek and help guide you in your discovery and learning process about what we have to offer for you. Okay, so first, this is our group, part of our group. So one of the exciting things I think about Stony Brook Nutrition Division is that we're a large group of dietitians. This is some of us. So we're about 35 RDs strong. We have dietitians that practice inpatient, outpatient. We have a women, infant, and child supplemental food program. We have a research arm. So we have, and the whole inpatient team have various specialties, right? So we have dietitians in all areas of practice. And whether you do our internship or our master's or our combined master's and intern and DI or our new future education model, Master of Science in Professional Nutrition Practice, these are the folks that are informing the curriculum. If you're on site, you'll work with more of them directly. If you're doing a distance track, then they'll be a little bit more behind the scenes, but all their expertise is involved in your curriculum material development and workshops that we give you. So Stony Brook is now I'm going to plug Stony Brook a bit. So Stony Brook is a world-class, internationally ranked institution. You can see the numbers here. Our hospital has been ranked in the top America's 100 best hospitals for 2021 and in 2022. Again, I should update this slide. So the other interesting piece is that we are a state institution. So if you're a New York State resident, you get amazing tuition for our master's graduate programs, and even out-of-state students who do our distance programs benefit, because as long as you don't tiptoe into New York State during your training with us, you get a much reduced tuition rate compared to out-of-state. It's much closer to the in-state because you're virtual, and so it's less resources in terms of space here at Stony Brook. So that's something to keep in mind. When you look at our landing page that I showed you previously, the which program is for you will bring you to this. And this is a few slides. I'm not going to read it all to you because that would be overwhelming. You need to digest it a little bit, but a few just key things. So first, in the next few slides, every first column will be a few different characteristics. Then the internship standalone will come. Then the next column is the dietetic internship with the master's. And then the last column will be information about our MS and professional nutrition practice. So just, I really want to make clear, you know, which program you're eligible for. So if you have an undergraduate DPD verification statement and a master's degree, you can do just the internship, or if you're almost finished with your master's degree. If you don't have a master's degree yet, then you would do the internship with the coordinated master's program. So you need to have a DPD verification statement, but not a master's degree. And then if you don't have a DPD verification statement, so you haven't gone through an undergraduate nutrition program that's accredited and therefore don't have a DPD verification statement, more a change of career type of student, then you can have any undergraduate degree, but you have to have a number of science prereqs and nutrition prereqs that are all listed here. So that's a key thing. If you have a DPD verification statement, then you have more options. If you don't, then you are looking at this last column.
Awesome. And can I interject a little
Absolutely.
Bit? Absolutely. Yeah. And so you provide a lot of awesome, diverse, different pathways that different students interested in your program can take. And so one question I do have is, what prompted your program to offer so many different track options for students?
So initially, we just had the on-site DI, and then the academy required that, and we had a master's program for practicing RDs primarily who wanted to come back and get a master's degree. And then, as you may know, the our professional body had deemed, appropriately so, that a master's degree is necessary because RDs are practicing at a very high level of care in hospitals, writing, proposing diet orders for total parental nutrition, for tube feeding, monitoring very complex patients. And in the outpatient setting as well, I treat a lot of autoimmune conditions and GI conditions. So the master's became required, right? So then we developed the MS coordinated with the DI. Fabulous. But I think the academy and we too notice that there are a lot of people who have a degree in another field, but then discover an interest in nutrition and want to train as a nutritionist, but they already have a baccalaureate degree. So rather than having them repeat nutrition at the undergraduate degree, they could flow into this type of a program, which is similar to medical school, where you can major in anything. You have to have a lot of science prereqs, and then you could apply to medical school, or you can apply to these type of programs that provide the didactic coursework really tightly integrated with the supervised experiential learning or clinical rotations. So some of it was driven by the accrediting body, some of it was driven by demand.
Awesome, definitely. And given how, and you showed the prestigious stats of Stony Brook University, and so about how many students apply to your program versus how many do you accept?
So we accept 16 in the on-site DI. The distance DI is up to 15. The master's is equal, right? Because if you're doing the the MSDI together, then if you're on site, you're going to be one of those 16. If you're distance, you're going to be one of those 15. The MS in professional nutrition practice, that's also going to be in the neighborhood of 15.
Awesome. It's awesome to hear that you offer just a diverse, you know, range of tracks, but also a great opening to a lot of different spots for students.
And I will be honest with you, to help alleviate a bit of stress, there are so many more programs now than there have been, like in the last 5 to 10 years, that we know the match rate is increasing. More students are getting into the supervised training type of practice. And the demographics, I believe, is partly, and I'm just being honest, the number of students applying is dropping. So there are less students across the board for more programs. So our applications, we used to have 120, 130. Now we're more in the neighborhood of, let's say, 60, 70. And the MS is brand spanking new. So that I don't even know yet.
Wow. Yeah. But I'm glad that you're kind of just emphasizing that discrepancy that's happened over the years and kind of, you know, alleviating some stress for students. But I'll definitely let you get back to your presentation to show even more wonderful things about your program.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. So the next slide is going to indicate whether we participate in the match or not and cost. So just so you know, internships still primarily have to go through the matching process. So if it's the DI or the MSDI, we do participate in the spring match. These new programs, the MS, our version of the new Future Education Model Program, is our MS in Professional Nutrition Practice, and that is outside of the match. So that's kind of nice too, because then you don't have to fret about the matching process, which is a big unknown for you, right? Whereas if you apply directly to a program, we let you directly know. So that's a big difference. The cost varies, although I have to say for us in-state, there's very little difference. Out of state, there is some difference. So this is complicated, gets in the weeds a bit. So if you go onto our website, oh, I forgot to take my phone off, then you can look at all that tuition information in detail, which is important, right? For the internship, I will say, as well as the MSDI, the internship part is not credit bearing. It's fees. Whereas in the MS-PNP, it's all credits. So that's why our MS is 36 credits plus the dietetic internship and all the clinical rotations. Whereas in the MS and PNP, everything is credit bearing. The coursework and the supervised experiential learning, which is why it looks like so much credits, because it is. It's 50 credits, whereas the master's is 36 plus the internship. So we took those rotations and needed to convert them into credits. So it's basically the same amount of work. It's just organized a little bit differently. Okay, so all that tuition information is important for you to know there and to look at. Also keep in mind that if you are needing or wanting to apply for financial aid, just know, and I'm not a financial aid officer, but just know to ask, you need to take a certain number of credits to be a full-time master's student to enable you to apply for financial aid. So typically that's 6 credits. So you just want to keep that in mind as well. If you do our DI with the master's, we can help you with that. And the PNP as well. For our program, we can help you design your program to meet that need. And the PNP, we designed it with that in mind. Okay, so that's tuition. All right, then length of program. So it looks like it's really different, but it's really not, because the DI is 10 months, the master's with the DI is 16 to 21 months, because you can the master's, you can speed it up or slow it down. You're a little bit more in control if you do the DIMS. The MS in professional nutrition practice, I'm going to show you the schedule, it's very set in stone. So it's exactly 17 months. The DIMS, you can flex a little bit. And that might be something you want to do. And we'll talk in a moment as to why that might be. When you're on our website, you can click on these links and it takes you to the curriculum plan, which I'm going to show you. Credits, we talked about hours. We have on-site and distance options for the standalone DI, the DI with the master's, and the PN, the master's in professional nutrition practice. So on-site and distance, part-time and full-time. Part-time, we have limited seats, but we do have seats. Okay, so that's our landing page, which program's for you. Then if you want to do the new future education model program, the master's in professional nutrition practice, this is how the curriculum lays out. So you do mostly coursework the first year. So courses, 3 courses in the fall, you get an orientation to supervised experiential learning courses. You do your food service SEL in the winter between the 2 semesters. You come back, you take 3 more classes. These classes are all online. The SEL is, you have to, you know, be in person. Then in the summer, you take 3 courses, 1 for your concentration, 2 other courses, and then you definitely have to do your community nutrition and public health SEL, and then you'll start your nutrition therapy SELs. And there is some flexibility in how that lays out, especially because that's our first year. So we're going to be very flexible because we're going to be learning with you how this best works. This does also highlight the fact that we do have concentrations, which I think is kind of a neat thing. So we have nutrition, critical care critical care and nutrition therapy. And then we have integrative nutrition. So critical care is more for those that are pretty sure you want to do inpatient. Integrative nutrition therapy is especially more useful in the outpatient setting. And then we have a generalist kind of option if you're not exactly sure, which is fine too.
Awesome. And then just for the listeners, like if they're hearing SEL and it's the first time that they hear SEL, that's supervised experiential learning, correct?
Absolutely. And in the DI world, that would be your rotations.
Gotcha.
Okay. So it's basically where you go on site, you are working in a hospital, in a long-term care facility, maybe a private practice, maybe a food bank for your public health, and you're in the field working with an RD in what they do every day, right? That's the real fun part. Although I love the classes I teach too. Okay, so then in the fall, you come back and you take research methods and you take your second concentration course, and then you're finishing your nutrition therapy SELs because you have a lot of hours of that, and you do your research and quality improvement SEL. That's kind of your capstone, pulling everything together for a research project or CQI, it varies. We have you collaborate on a single project. It's really hard to get a project up and running, even in a year and a half, soup to nuts, you know, start to finish all by yourself. Whenever you do research, my experience has been, you're always with a team. You know, you're not doing it by yourself. So we have you work as a team with us on something that we're working on, usually my division. So it could be a really robust CQI project where we get data from the electronic medical record and we ask a CQI question. We comb through and investigate the chart on identified patients, pull that data out and analyze it. So that I think is also a little bit unique. I know some programs do individual projects, but I think you get more out of it working as a team, and and we get great results because then each person collects some data and we pool it, and then you have a bigger sample size. And it's really meaningful. It's stuff that I'm going to really use in running my programs. All right. And then we have an evaluation and a review week, which we've really honed to help our students pass the registration exam. So we review some of its didactic. We go through question bank, bank of questions, and really help you get ready for that. All right, so this is the MS and professional nutrition practice. It's packed. You have to be really focused and really prioritize this. It would be very hard to work during this, just to be honest. Okay, to work outside of the program. Okay, then I'm going to share with you what it looks like to do the master's coordinated with the internship, although I don't really show all the internship rotations here. But this is for the advanced nutrition therapy and critical care concentration. So here we have fall, spring, summer, and another fall, spring. So you can read the courses here. But one of the key points to keep in mind is if you are coordinating the MS and the DI, so you're doing our internship, you don't have a master's yet, so you're doing your master's with us and your DI, then you do get an advantage in terms of some of your rotation, some of your dietetic internship coursework helps you either challenge out or meet the requirements of a course. So for this course, HFN 580, you use one of your DI modules to satisfy the course requirement. So you pay regular tuition, but you don't do extra work. Then these two courses, HFN 578 and 583, you challenge out, again, basically using DI work. But in these two cases, you only pay a challenge fee. You don't pay the full tuition for those courses. So in all three of these scenarios, the beauty of combining or coordinating the DI and the master's is that your DI work is really a lot, and it could really qualify for some credits as well. Okay, so for each of the concentrations, there's some differences in the courses and in the electives you could take. This is all online, so I'm not going to read all these courses to you. And on our website, under the master's, you'll see the advanced nutrition therapy under the master's tile with the carrot. and you'll also see integrative nutrition therapy and the courses there and the electives there. And then the more generalist option and the electives there. Okay, now, with that, so with the master's courses, you are going to be doing dietetic internship rotations because it's coordinated. Now, because you want to use your dietetic internship coursework, as I said, to meet the requirements of some of those courses, we do have to work on timing. We help you individualize that because those courses don't have to be exactly like this. You could choose to take fewer courses and spread it out a little bit longer. So it's a little less prescribed. But you do have to do all the rotations, of course. So this is the on-site rotations. So we have all of our programs have a clinical concentration. We are at a university teaching hospital. It's our specialty. So for the on-site, you do an outpatient rotation. You do 5 weeks. You do an 11-week inpatient rotation, some long-term care. The research, as I mentioned, is always on a clinical topic, and a virtual renal rotation that culminates in a trip, kind of a field trip to a dialysis center. then 5 weeks of public health, including work with our WIC program. Public health is going to involve our food pantry, our community garden, basically our ceramicized rooftop farm. And then you do some food service, both in an institution that does therapeutic diets, as well as a school, because on Long Island, a lot of school nutrition programs, public school nutrition programs are run by RDs. You have a 3-week elective rotation and your 1 week of review. So that's if you do the DI or the DI master's combined and you apply and get accepted into the on-site track. The distance track is a little bit different. The hours come out mostly the same, but you have a nutrition therapy rotation that we ask for you to complete in two different sites because we want you to experience two different sites. One has to be in an acute care hospital. It could be a community hospital. It could be a medical center. And then the other site might be a dialysis center, a diabetes center, a bariatric center, eating disorder center. You know, lots of different outpatient types of opportunities there, or it could also be long-term care. Food service management, we ask that it be in a place that does therapeutic diets. So you learn how to convert a diet order into a therapeutic diet tray that goes out of the kitchen to the patient's room. So that's probably going to be your acute care hospital, or it might be a long-term care place if that's what you choose for your second site. Community nutrition could be in WIC. It could be in a food bank. It could be in a Cornell Cooperative Extension. Every state has a land grant institution that has a cooperative extension. So lots of variety there. You can choose, you choose an elective, you do the same virtual renal rotation, and the field trip is virtual. You do your longitudinal research rotation with me, just like the on-site ones do. But this is always a CQI project that I guide you through. And what I think is really unique about our distance program is that you have bi-monthly calls with our clinical coordinator. So you stay really tight in touch with us. We are there. You are a Stony Brook student, and we want to make sure that you have the, I call it the Stony Brook stamp, our philosophy of nutrition therapy. So you might be, you know, doing your rotations elsewhere, but we're checking in. How are they teaching you to do this? Do you think you're getting this? Any troubles you have meeting a certain competency? Where once you're accepted, it's our responsibility to help you to get through the program and meet your competencies. So if you're not feeling confident that you're on track to meet a certain competency, we encourage you to let us know because we have resources and we can help you meet that competency. So that's what the bi-monthly calls are about. So we have the distance interns. I think the quote is on our website where they didn't really feel very distant because they were always talking with us. And I do the research rotation with you. And so it's a nice relationship. Orientation and review week. Oh, because of COVID and whatnot, we've done it completely on site. We've done it completely virtual. We've done it hybrid. I think we're going to be leaning towards virtual in the future, largely because of some very technical issues with tuition for those of you that are distance track. So it's likely going to be virtual, but that may vary year to year. So I can't commit to that right now. Okay. If you are doing the distance program, you need to help us know where you're going to rotate. So whether you're doing the dietetic internship or the MSN professional nutrition practice, you need rotations for your DI or SEL sites for your MSPNP. And with your application, we require that you, for the DI, that you tell us how you're going to lay out your schedule and who you have identified that can precept you. For the MSPNP, because it's over a year and a half, unlike the DI, that those rotations tend to chunk in 10 months outside of the coursework, we don't have you lay out all of your sites because it evolves over time. But we have found that it's really important that we have you identify your nutrition therapy site, because that's the hardest one to get. And we don't want to have you start the program, pay, and then not be able to find a site. It could be a little tricky. We have now, because we've been doing our distance DI for a while, we have contracts with state, with institutions throughout the country. We have alumni throughout the country. So we have ways to help you, but we want to set you up for success and help you early on. So if you're interested in our distance programs, you'll be in touch with us. You should be in touch with us and let us know that you plan on applying and talk about the contract process. So we help you, we do the contracts for you. You have to identify the people and the sites. And you don't have to have the contract before you start, but you have to have a signed preceptor form for each of these sites that says, oh yeah, I'm Jane Dietitian and I'm gonna precept Jenna for her public health rotation. And this is my facility and et cetera, et cetera. So we just need to make sure that you are set up to success, to be successful. So the admissions process, something that of course people you'd be very interested in. So I'm gonna kind of speak globally. So for all of our programs, we look at your undergraduate transcript. Of course, we're looking for students that have been serious, but a minimum GPA of 3.2. Honestly, we do screen on GPA, but we do look at applications up until about a 3. If your GPA is less than a 3, we really do recommend that you take some additional coursework to up that GPA. It'll be difficult for you to be successful in our programs without demonstrating that to us and to yourself. So we do look at GPA. We also look at what you've been doing outside the classroom. So you have to write a personal statement, right? So you're going to discuss how your various volunteer experiences, extracurricular activities have helped you to build a skill set that you can now apply to your training as a dietitian. So I put myself through college and I worked in retail and I, you know, started off as a salesperson and then worked my way up to management, or I worked in a deli and I became the manager. That shows us, you know, dedication, reliability. You know, if you've been able to hold down the same job for a while, that speaks to your skills there. People skills, communication skills. There's a lot you learn by working in any environment. So you can speak to that. Maybe you didn't work, but you were a collegiate athlete and you showed your dedication and determination by being successful in your coursework while having this huge commitment to athletics, or maybe you were in theater or whatever you did. We're looking to see you as the whole person. But in my opinion, I would not go through activity by activity. I would go through like synthesize some of it together and the skills that you develop by maybe being on the e-board for your sorority and working retail. You know, kind of put things together to tell us how you've developed your skills and your knowledge base to set you up to succeed in your next level of training. Okay. I'm going to really go out there on a limb and tell you, sometimes people like to talk about their own personal history, family history. Just, you know, a lot of people tell us their grandparents had diabetes, and that's okay. That's interesting. But really help us to understand about your skills. Okay. And we don't expect you to be a dietitian. You don't have to have dietitian skills. You just have to have transferable skills. Okay. So after we review your application, we look at your GPA and we look at these other factors. We select the top roughly, for the internship, top 40 candidates for the new MS and professional nutrition practice. I don't know how many that'll be right now, but we'll interview as many as we physically can. For the internship, it's really constrained by the deadline for us to rank you and you to rank us, right? So for the internship, historically, it's been about 40 students that we interview. And then your interview score counts as a lot, but also gets kind of combined with your screening score. And then we develop our rank list based on that. Any questions on the admissions process?
So I would say with the admissions process, you did give a lot of great advice about the personal statement and anything like that and all the things regarding the personal statement. But do you have any advice for students just in general whenever it comes to applying to dietetic internships, whether it's your specific program or programs across, you know, all the ones that they're applying to?
General advice for applying for a DI. First, apply to a bunch. That's smart. But look at them, you know, look at their websites carefully, because one of the questions that we typically ask is why Stony Brook, right? So you want to have a good answer for that. Like, why do you think the programs you're applying to would be a good fit for you? So I'd be prepared for that type of a question. Most places, most internships, I think, do interview now. When I first started doing the internship about 25 years ago, not everyone did interview, but I think most programs do now. We do a telephone interview. We don't do Zoom. Zoom seems a little high pressure, although everyone's so used to Zoom now. I think we're going to continue with telephone. We have you interview with three different faculty members, two to three. And we don't require the GREs. So you want to look at that too. We never require the GREs. I strongly feel that your four-year transcript, 4 years plus in some cases, speaks volumes compared to how you perform on any one test one day for a few hours. Some people are not good standardized test takers, and all that comes into play. So we really look at your transcript, and we really look carefully at your transcript, because some people have a rough start transitioning to college, but then they really, you know, progress upwards, which is great. Some people really struggle with that biochemistry course, but everything else is really good. So yes, you can apply it, but you struggled with that one course. Sometimes during an interview, if there's an unusual pattern, I'll ask without asking for personal information, but you know, it looks like you really struggled that semester. Was there, you know, can you explain that without providing too much personal detail? But, you know, how can you convince me that that'll be different, you know, this go around? Things like that.
Yeah, and that's good, because it's kind of like making sure that the student is well aware of their own experiences, you know, not just being like, okay, going to plaster everything on this piece of paper and then just shoot it out and hope for the best. It's like making sure that you are aware of your experiences and how mm-hmm. it shaped you to where you are applying. And so, and then like, I had one quick clarification question about the dietetic internship track whenever it comes to securing the sites and with the admissions process. Do they need to have all of their sites secured with it, like, alongside the application, or
so what does that look like? So ideally we'd like the students to have all of their sites, but that's not 100% realistic. We are going to, so if you're setting up your schedule, you have to set up your schedule, then the first site you should have for sure, and then at least the nutrition therapy acute care site, because those are the trickiest to get. Mm-hmm. They're small. You know, usually Stony Brook is a 620 bed hospital. Since COVID, we've been running close to 700 census. So we're packed. We have 16 RDs, 17 with the per diem for inpatient. So, and I think that's a trend across the country, and I'm not really sure why, but maybe patients were putting F care, or maybe people that had COVID are more susceptible to really difficulty with heart disease and cancer after COVID. But man, people are sick, 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 and the hospitals are full, at least on Long Island and New York City. So, you know, finding people that will take the time to train you. You know, we always remind people, someone trained you. and the contracts with those sites tend to be the hardest too. There's just a lot of rules, especially with COVID, which you can understand. So we need you to identify your first site and your nutrition therapy site. We ask you to do the others, but you may not have all of them. But it really, really, really is to your advantage. We've had students, one or two, like, really struggle, of course, during COVID and the year after COVID. So it delayed their finishing, but they finished. There's honestly, again, just being very honest, there's one student who never was able to finish because she could never find her nutrition therapy site. So we want you to be very thoughtful about that and be realistic. Like, don't just think, oh, it's easy, I'll find it, because you are going to start investing money in a program, my program or any other program. You are going to start paying for the internships. A lot of them, the fees are required up front. So you're putting a lot of money on the table, not knowing if you're going to be able to get a site. That's not to your advantage. So it might even be worth delaying a year, starting a master's, our online master's, while you work to secure those sites, so that the next year, you know, you have everything set and you're ready to go. It really pains me to see people. We had that one student who just never, she was in an area that was hit very hard by COVID and just seemed to really suffer afterwards with, again, similar to New York. So it's to your advantage, whether your program requires it or not, to really secure those preceptors so that you're set to be successful.
Definitely, for sure. And just planning ahead in general, mm-hmm. whenever it comes to supervised practice programs, for sure. Yeah.
And the beauty of an on-site program where you come to us, that's an advantage, right? We lay that all out for you. We have the whole rotation set up when you come. So, you know, some advantages from my perspective with our on-site program is we have a Monday seminar, so you get to really work with your cohort, and we set up the schedule for you. The distance, the advantage is that you can stay where you are, so people have reasons to stay where they are for whatever reason. So that's a huge advantage for many people. They might have family obligations. They might have children that they don't want to move, you know, lots of different reasons. So the beauty is you get to stay where you're at, and we give you a quality training, and we stay in touch with the biweekly calls. It's a little bit different. Honestly, I just want to be honest, because I think you students this year really have a lot to think about, and it's hard to sort out because you're new at this. I mean, I've been in this for 30 years. So if you're coming on site, at least for our programs, the advantage to doing the regular DI coordinate with the masters is that you do have that seminar where you get to work collaboratively with your other folks. I think people are intrigued by this new future education model, that I should do that because it's new. And for us, I think that's ideal for the distance folks. For the on-site folks, it's perfectly viable. You'll come here. We would, if you're on-site, we would set up your schedule for the MSPNP, but it's designed differently. And the rotations are really Monday through Friday. So there isn't that seminar. So when we had our open house this year and people came physically, and there was a woman who had volunteered with us 2 years on our Sternberg Heights rooftop farm. And she's like, just tell me what to do. And I'm like, I can't tell you because there's a lot of financial implications too. You really have to go home and talk to your family as well, because the on-site MSDI is a little bit more expensive than the future education model program on-site. So that's something to think about. And then I guess it also just depends on how important it is for you to be part of that seminar, that Monday seminar. The other thing is, if you're really interested in research, then the research rotation is different on site, the MSDI in particular. So if we have, right now we have a feeding study going on, a controlled feeding study. We don't always have a controlled feeding study going on. But the research on site, at least you have that potential of doing a research project that's live with patients or subjects. So that's something that's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so distance and your on-site, they definitely have their pros and cons. And, you know, but what's great is both tracks are able to interact with you on that research level, on that interpersonal level, and you still feel part of the program no matter what, which I think is really great.
Mm-hmm. And we really prioritize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and definitely. I know students are very nervous, of course, when they start a new program, but any program, you know, once you are admitted and you come and you start the program, program directors are evaluated about how many of our students get through. It doesn't look good for us if you don't get through, just so you know. So, you know, we are there to guide you and teach you. And we have to run quality programs that provide you with the opportunity to meet these competencies. And if you're struggling in one area, then we need to find additional resources to help you meet those competencies. Mm-hmm, wouldn't have definitely. Gotten this far, and you wouldn't have gotten in if it wasn't possible, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And definitely, before you finish your presentation, because I'm sure there's two more slides left, there are just two more questions that I do want to ask regarding your program and kind of, you know, gearing in more on that interpersonal note. And so you talked about a lot of great benefits that your program has with the different tracks. You know, you accept a lot of students and you're really a holistic approach with the application. But what would you say is your favorite part about Stony Brook's program?
Our expertise in care. So, for example, myself and Lorraine and, primarily Lorraine and I, and the whole inpatient team, I still practice. I still see patients Tuesday afternoons between 2 and 7. And I bring that experience to my teaching with the interns or the MSPNP students. And that's really invaluable because we're at the cutting edge, right? We're treating patients. We know what patients experience. We understand the trends in care. the difficulties right now with supply chain issues in the inpatient setting, like we're living, breathing it. I'm living, breathing it. So it's just very current, our programs, because we're delivering care. Lorraine does our ALS clinic, so a lot of end-of-life issues with ALS. It's a terminal illness. I do work with the GI team as well as the family medicine team. So I really do think that that sets us apart is our expertise in clinical care, which aligns with our concentration in clinical nutrition therapy.
Awesome. And then kind of to turn the gear towards the students, do you hear common things that are that the students like about the program or like their favorite things about the program?
For distance, what I hear most is that how connected they feel. And those biweekly calls, our orientation, and our evaluation and review week, that they really feel prepared and ready to go and work in the field. For the on-site program, I hear a lot the variety of rotations. So I didn't mention this, but in the outpatient rotation for on-site interns or PMP students, it'll be similar. We have you go to different sites. So sometimes you'll be in family medicine clinic with me. Sometimes you'll be in ALS with Lorraine. Sometimes you'll be in performance nutrition with Soteria across campus with athletics. We have a very interesting program for first responders from the 9/11 situation or crisis. So we're following and monitoring those first responders. And there are two RDs that work with that group. That's an interesting group. We have a bariatric program and you spend a week with the bariatric team to understand that. That's a very viable career path. Peds GI, you go for a day or two, and the diabetes center. So you get to work with lots of different RDs. And then of course there's still your inpatient rotation, your long-term care rotation. So you really start to say, oh, I like the way that RD does that. I love that and don't love that. And you start to craft your own style of how you want to do assessments, keep up in the field, to develop your nutrition care plans.
Definitely. And so I don't want to hold you up from completing this awesome presentation jam-packed with a lot of awesome information. And so, yeah, just
let me see what's next. Oh, yeah, the next few slides are more just fun. So this is a group that when we finished our first feeding study, we went out to celebrate here in Port Jefferson. Oh, I didn't say, on-site Long Island is just gorgeous. I'm not sure where you're from, Jenna, but Long Island is just beautiful. So we have, I'm sure you love your area too, but we have great beaches. We're very close to a fun town called Port Jefferson where the students hang out a lot, and we're a train ride away from Manhattan. So they usually go as a group or a few of them at a time, I guess, to go explore New York City a bit too. So we're in a great location, wineries out east. You know, you will have a little time to have some fun in between assignments and module work, etc. So yeah, we were celebrating a great conclusion to our first feeding study. And then this is our Sternberg Heights rooftop farm. So distance folks don't get to see this so much, but it's a real symbol, which is important for all people that are considering our program, of our nutrition philosophy. We have a very, very whole food approach to nutrition, very integrative. Even the inpatient team is very aware. We have a great food service department here at the hospital. Patients can do plant-based meals, and there's always healthy options, and that's not the case in every hospital. And for ourselves, we grow food for our patients, for our food pantry. It really is just a beautiful symbol of our division. It's not big. We have 37 raised beds, I'm believing. This is our new cancer center and children's hospital in the background here. And in the reflection is the older buildings. They look very 1970s, right? But the farm is just is a beautiful representation of us. So if you are on site, just so you know, full disclosure, during your public health rotation, you do work on the farm, and you will be picking weeds and harvesting, which is really kind of cool, I think. And now this our food pantry is new, so not only do we were donating food to the kitchen, which we'll still do a little bit, but you know what? The hospital food service is always going to buy vegetables for patients, always. They'll always be on the menu. But I think we're going to divert a lot of our produce now to send home with patients who are food insecure upon discharge.
That's awesome. And I really do think ending on this slide is in like with what you mentioned, this represents Stony Brook Stony Brook's program, that holistic, you know, just kind of going back to your roots with nutrition and really showing both the positives on being a distance student and an on-site student. So yeah, really, I'm really glad that you also include like all the ways that they can contact you and follow you on your social medias. And so if there's any last thing you want to end on regarding students that are interested in applying or going through the process, we'd love to end on that note.
Okay, so I am showing a picture of the food and the farm, but do note that the underlying kind of message to all this too is that, and what I tell my patients is, food impacts every aspect of your physiology, right? So food becomes information for your genes, for transcription of your genes, and how your genome becomes your phenome, your phenotype. So it's a very science-driven curriculum that translates to a very food, plant food, whole food based nutrition type of planning. And that's how we all should eat. So we also strive to be role models, right, for our patients. And I strive to be a role model for my students as well. It's harder as I get older, but keep trying.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you so much for just showcasing your awesome program with so many different tracks. And I know that students looking into different programs to apply to will learn a lot about your program. So again, thank you so much, Dr. Josephine, for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity, Jenna. Have a great evening and good luck with all the folks listening and planning your career and your next steps. Take care.